हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 66. Just as many nights passed in a moment in the happiness of rasa dance, in the sorrow of separation, a moment will become like 100 yugas. We will not be able to tolerate that. The gopis continued, how can we exist without Ananta's friend Krishna, who in the evening would return to Vraja in the company of the cowherd boys, his hair and garland powdered with the dust raised by the cow's hooves? As he played his flute, he would captivate our minds with his smiling, sidelong glances. Right, so we see is that when Akrura came, then he was already, he'd come back, he had bathed, he had dressed, you know, ornamented and everything, and so that would be kind of the flavor how in Dwarka they would appreciate. But you see here the cowherd girls, they're appreciating when he's just coming back from the field, that flavor. As he played his flute, he would captivate our minds with his smiling, sidelong glances. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Ananta is one name of Sankarshan or Balaram, since he was white like Ananta and has unlimited strength like Ananta. Like Krishna, Balaram has many well-known names in Braja. Ananta Shaka therefore means the friend of Balaram, or along with Balaram. Accompanied by Balaram, surrounded by cowherd boys, Krishna entered Braja in the evening. He would bewilder our hearts with prema by his soft smile and his side glance. Nu indicates worry. How can we exist without him? We will die now, right here. Sukadeva Goswami said. This feeling that they will die, that's the Santri Bhava of death. It's not that they die, it's just that feeling of that is that. Sukadeva Goswami said. After speaking these words, the ladies of Braja, who were so attached to Krishna, felt extremely agitated by the imminent separation from him. They forgot all shame and loudly cried out, O Govinda, O Damodar, O Madhava. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. After discussing in this way, when they assembled in a group and began to go toward the chariot in order to bring Krishna down from it, their legs became paralyzed and all they could do was weep. Due to the pain of separation, they can neither move a step nor utter clear words. O Govinda, take, Vinda, all our thousands of senses, such as mind and eye, go. Mercifully take these gopis who are following you. Let our senses remain joined to the bull of your mind. Do not neglect them. If our bodies are not suitable for meeting with you, and you do not come to us, then right here we will leave our bodies. If you want, you may kill women, but you cannot kill your mother, from love of whom you accepted the bondage of the ropes, Damodara. If you do not appear the day after tomorrow, then she will die. So do not be a killer of your mother, right? So they're going in that day, and they'll reach there, then the next day would be the program, so the day after that they would leave and then come back to Braja, be back in the evening. You know, so then that's the idea. If they're going in just to pay the tax, they only need that day for that program. O husband of Lakshmi, Madhava, you are not our husband, but a friend. As husband, you would not be at fault if you protected or destroyed us, because we would be your property. but we belong to someone else. Therefore, do not do something which will be a cause of our destruction. So these are the three names that they cried out. And so then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur then explains the meaning of all those three. You know, that their senses, that Krishna may then accept that, and then in that way then they will be bound to Krishna, right? And then as Damodar, then bound by these ropes of love, then he won't do anything to disturb anybody. And as Madhava and all that, then he's the husband of the goddess Lakshmi, he's not their husband. And so therefore then they have to deal a little bit more nicely. Sukadeva Goswami continued. But even as the gopis cried out in this way, Akura, having at sunrise performed his morning worship and other duties, began to drive the chariot. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Akura respected the gopis by not... Gopis body. Akura disrespected the gopis by not comforting them and saying, O Mother Jashoda, please forgive my offense, because I am simply the servant of the king. With my own hand I will bring him back to you. Some devotees say that because of this disrespect or offense, later Akura became separated from Krishna during the Shyamataka Jewel episode, giving up Dwarka and living in famous Varanasi. Completing his morning duties, such as bathing, sandhya rites, etc., Akura mounted the chariot. Some say that because Sukadeva Goswami was so absorbed in the gopis' lamentation at this time, he could not describe the lamentation of Jashoda. Others say that she was assured by Nanda, the coward men and her peers among the women of Braja, that there was no need to worry because her son, so anxious to see the festivals of the Dhanur Yajna, was going with his father, eating with his father at the proper time and sleeping on his lap. The day after tomorrow he would return, therefore she did not lament. So it must be because every year they would pay the tax, so most likely that this is how it went. One day to get there, one day to take care of business, one day to come back. So then, you know, it's being stated, everyone's stating this as a common standard of how it should work. So then she's not worried because she's going with Nanda Baba. He'll take care, make sure he eats properly, sleeps properly, and then, you know, goes around and sees all the festivities, so he'll have a nice time. So in that way, then she's not lamenting. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Led by Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men followed behind Lord Krishna in their wagons. The men brought along many offerings for the king, including clay pots filled with ghee and other milk products. With his glances, Lord Krishna somewhat pacified the gopis, and they also followed behind for some time. Then, hoping would give them some instruction, they stood still. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Sitting on the chariot, Krishna turned towards them, seeing that the life airs were rising up. Glancing at them, he seemed to say, O my beloved gopi girls, do not be sad. After satisfying these people, I will return to you. Therefore, they were joyful. Anu Ranjitaha. When their legs became a little mobile, they began to follow after the chariot like the cowherd boys who were blissfully walking behind. But they desired some answer from him, and thus they remained standing there. As he had assuaged their fears with glances, they desired he should have done so with words as well. Sukadeva Goswami continued. As he departed, the best of the Yadus saw how the gopis were lamenting, and thus he consoled them by sending a messenger with his loving promise, I will return. Right, so you notice here is that the gopis were referring to him as Sauri, and then here he's being referred to as the best of the Yadus in that, because he's already taken, he started to accept that flavor in that, because he's going to Mathura. Otherwise, without that mood, why would Mathura seem, would be attractive? Because in his mind, he would rather stay like that. So Prabhupada mentions that in the Krishna book, that he would rather stay, but because he also promised that he would take care of all these duties and all that, that's why then he's going. Right? Yeah, because that's why he said he would appear, right? with that, he told Brahma and the demigods that he would take care of all their anxieties. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, seeing the pain of the gopis, the best of the yadus, who is now inclined to protect the yadus, consoled them by sending through messengers thousands of assurances to increase their faith, so that they would regain full consciousness. Jaut yakai, plural form. Ka is added to indicate that the messages were full of compassion. I will return quickly, O gopis. Like you, I am also subject to the worst broken heart. Right, so thousands means they were going out, either they were getting many of them, or it was going to all the different gopis, or, you know, in any case, Krishna is arranging to send his message. Sukadeva Goswami continued, sending their minds after Krishna, the gopis stood as motionless as figures in a painting. They remained there as long as the flag atop the chariot was visible, and even until they could no longer see the dust raised by the chariot wheels. Footnote 22. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 34 to 36. To Bhagavad Akramichimala chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Not just this absorption that they have, just how they, you know, see the chariot, and then they only see the flag of the chariot, and then they only see the dust from the chariot, and only when they couldn't see the dust of the chariot anymore, then only they would turn back, right? The gopis then turned back, without hope that Govinda would ever return to them. Full of sorrow, they began to spend their days and nights chanting about the pastimes of their beloved. Footnote 23. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 19. To Bhakti...
Hmm?
37. No, it's not the same one. That was 29. Because that was also chapter 6. Okay, I thought it was just the same. So verse 37. To Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 6, entitled Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord, Bhagavat Rasa Tatvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. So, that means that that if one is always hearing and chanting about Krishna, day and night, then one will be absorbed in him, right? And then will be able to taste that relationship of being connected with him. So that's the method. Srila Sanatana Goswami writes, they gave up hope that the king of Gokula, Govindasya, would turn and again enter Gokula, though they had hoped for a long time that this would happen. Since he was controlled by his devotees, he could not tolerate others' suffering. How did they maintain their lives? They sang about activities like his killing Putana, or about favorite activities like the Rasa dance, and gave up lamenting, Vishoka. They passed days and nights, because they could maintain their lives by singing about his activities, right? So in this way, because they're remembering him, then they're with Krishna. And so therefore they could go on. But it'll have that flavor of separation, but at the same time they'll feel like they're with Krishna. The point is it's non-different. So they're with Krishna. Krishna's name are non-different. So when you remember Krishna, you chant about Krishna, then you're actually with Krishna. But the point is that there'll be a difference in flavor. That's all. But otherwise, that same ecstasy, that same feeling of affection for Krishna, like that will be the same.
Maharaj, devotees usually say that, like as you mentioned, that Krishna and his name is non-different. So when we chant name of Krishna, we are with Krishna.
Yes.
When devotees say that, you know, this, even though this is true, but it's a kind of a virtual reality, because...
I wouldn't go there. Virtual reality. See, it's like this. Like, problem is that Bangalore is too close to that side of India and south and all that, and so from that all the IT stuff, and then from the IT stuff then they think that's reality. So then saying that Krishna's pastimes by that remembrance is like virtual reality is a, you know what I'm saying? So the point is you're with Krishna is non-different from Krishna. The acharyas explain you're associating with Krishna because it's non-different from Krishna. But by Krishna's arrangement, it's a different flavor. So even though you're with Krishna, it gives the flavor of separation. Right? So therefore, so one gives the flavor of sambhog, one gives the flavor of separation. But you're with Krishna, because Krishna and his name are non-different, and that's directly non-different. And if they think it's virtual reality, then they should head off to Silicon Valley, like that, you know. Don't bother with the Hare Krishnas, right? Because the name and Krishna are non-different, but they'll give a different flavor. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's how it works. So you have to be careful with when you're dealing on this level. Does that make sense? Yeah, here it is. Okay, well, we'll go up here. This, okay. Or they had various saras, Vishokaha, because they sang about him, right? So, because they sang about him, they had various saras, because they're remembering him, and then all the time that they're with him. So it has that aspect of being with him, but it has that flavor of not being with him. Because otherwise, what's the meaning of he never leaves Vrindavan, and the meaning of that Krishna and his name are none different? You know, I said, what's that? Something nama namine. Yes. So that's the Sanskrit. And if you'll notice that even if you look in Moni or Williams or anything else, then for that nama namine, you don't get virtual reality. You know, it's not, that's not in a reality, that's an illusion. It is non-different directly. We don't understand it, accept it. But if it's a matter of I can't understand it, so it's got to be something different, so I have to come up with this logical reason to explain it, because we're oh so smart, because we have so many degrees from IIT and stuff like that, then who cares? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the smartest guy on the planet, couldn't understand until he gets Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So that's the whole point. This brains will not get you any closer to Krishna. It's thought. If I have brains, then I'll be closer. You know, I'm the Jnani or Jigyasu. I'm not one of these Arta Artarti guys, you know. I'm much superior. I join because I'm looking for the truth. I'm looking for the...
Yeah, Maharaj, their whole intention was to explain the audience, like, you know.
What, yeah, but you explain to the audience what's the reality. Why give them something that's not real? Otherwise, if you want to get something that's not real and it sounds good, hey, these Indian orators that are famous, I don't know who's famous these days, but before was, you know, you have the guy with the black cheddar? Murari Bapu, Dayananda, you know, Shivananda. There's all kinds of them. And I mean, how they speak will make us sound like frogs. I'm literally, they're so good. The language, how they can present, the tempo, everything is perfect. They're just on whatever they feel like. They're talking Shastra and quoting Gita verses and speaking from Bhagavatam, but how they put it together, it has nothing to do with reality.
If you understand, then they're lost. Point is, you should not be able to understand.
Yeah, if you can't understand, yeah, because that's the whole point. I remember once this, I mentioned before, it was this guy who, in Jamsetpur, he makes all the, I don't know if he still does, this is back in the 80s, but he made all the bodies for all the buses in East, means Bengal, and he still does, guy in Jamsetpur, ridiculously wealthy. And so then, I'm not sure what I was sent there for, but somehow or another we were supposed to meet him and stuff like that. And so then, So then I met him. We went to his house, we had dinner, and he had these books of Aurobindo, you know, whole big you know, library up there. And at one point he was saying very like, you know, with that combination of you know, respect and fondness and appreciation and reverence and all that, how Aurobindo's books are just so elevated, so lofty, because when he reads them, he can't understand a word he's saying. So they actually have this illusion, if I can't understand. But it's a common misunderstanding, because it's like Prabhupada writes, you can understand. But other people will write things that you can't understand, they'll say, oh, this is higher. Prabhupada's just giving the basics. They don't understand. A master can make something very difficult very easy. And someone who's expert, then they can only talk very fancy language. And unless you're also expert, you can't understand what they're saying. And even because they don't understand what they're saying. Does that make sense?
In the same lines as IIT.
Sorry?
In the same lines as the IIT degree.
Yes, yes. And so therefore, if you can talk all this fancy stuff, as long as you're up to date, means, you know, you go into a coma and wake up after 6 months, and then, you know, you might as well start all over again. You're so historic, you know, we can put you in the museum next to the dinosaurs, right? You know, like that, you know. So therefore, this idea is that, their understanding or not understanding is what makes it spiritual or not, is so far from reality, it's not even... It's been discussed by everybody. Anybody who offers prayers makes this point, that he can't be understood by intelligence. So therefore, you explain to the people that the reason that it may be hard is because it's only through devotion. Otherwise, why should we be giving the lecture? You just want to make them happy with, Gita and Hindus and all that, then call someone from, you know, the BJP or Bajrang Bali Dal or one of those groups, you know. Who are the preachers? I mean, the sadhus are the Bajrang Balis. Who's in between?
VHP,
yeah, the VHP, you know. Like that. I mean, that's what they do. You know, that's not our business. This idea is, no, we just have to make everybody happy. It's like, you know, the Hindus have been doing, they're all doing that, and they have thousands of followers. What is it? The guy who stuck his, from Andre, stuck his finger in the socket, and his hair went all frizzy, and he's got like 50 million followers. He just died, no?
Satyasai.
No, not Satyasai. Shirdi Sai. No, Shirdi not
same,
Satya.
Satyasai.
He is. Satyasai, okay. Yeah, that's what I said. Not the socket. Stick your finger in here. Yeah, like that. Like that. 50 million. I mean, that's ridiculous. Who's got 50 million followers except maybe the Pope or something? You know? So that kind of thing they have down. Because all they do is say all these far-out sounding nothingnesses, and you don't really have to change your life, and you have some little things that if you can do that, then, you know, once a day, you know, you think of somebody, you know, or anybody, then, you know, you're good. But that's not our business. Our business is to tell them what it is. So it's only through devotion then you can know. So why do we have to say it's like that? Does that make sense? Because the point is, it's non-different. And the point is why are we discussing about the separation of the gopis with people who aren't devotees anyway? Right? Why would you open with that one?
To attract 50 million.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so then they pass their nights in that because they're associating with Krishna, but they have that element of separation. Or it means that various sorrows came up because they were remembering him. So remembering him to get rid of the sorrows, then they would think of the pastimes to bring up a various taste in the sorrows. But the point is it was all connected with Krishna, and it all brought about all kinds of, the flavors of love of Godhead. So in other words, how you say? Braj Leela is not for the faint-hearted. Yes.
In this sense, we can say that the Vaikuntha environment is more stable because there's no material anxiety, but there's no spiritual anxiety also.
No. That's why, because what is the common point that is made about the position of all those devotees in Vaikuntha? Means, what have they gained?
Liberation.
They don't accept the Sayuja, but the other four, that is what it's for. I remember when we were staying at the one gentleman, I think, must have been the Das Prakash Hotel guy. Right? So he has dharmshalas, and we were staying at his dharmshala. So I don't think the father came, I think the son came or something, and he would see, you know, take care, and then we'd go to programs and stuff like that. So then, in a discussion, it came up that as Madhvas, then their whole focus is on Swarup Yamukti. That's what they're doing. That's their point. So it is about them feeling the happiness of spiritual life. You know, no material, but feeling the happiness of the spiritual life. So then that's why you can't have beyond Shanta and Dasya Rasa. Because other things create the intimacy, where then the variety and the closeness creates a change in things that will not be appreciated by them. Because, like you're saying, Shanta and Dasya is stable. It never changes. There's that little touch of sweetness is there, but it's not going to be overwhelming. It's just that little bit of something, that little bit of beauty, that little bit of something, you know, that's there within the grandeur of it all, like that makes it so attractive. And it's a definite, real spiritual taste, you know, because it's on the platform of prema. So when it mentions prema, that's the unlimited ocean. Right, compared to the drop of of liberation. But then within that ocean, then we see that what's tasted in Braja is even greater. So then when you get to all these aspects you could say Goloka, you know, so you have the Ayodhya pastimes, Hastinapur pastimes, the Dwarka pastimes, Mathura pastimes, how you say, Jagannath Puri, all these different aspects like that, then you can accommodate the relationships and therefore then something will go on. But the volume that's there, it's kind of obvious what's happening. You know, because you still have the thing of the rules and regulations because of the aspect of Aishwarya. But because there is more sweetness involved, it does have that also. Like you can see, Akrura goes back and forth between things that are, he's talking about him as the Supreme Lord, then talking about him as a relative, and it's not like it's two different things. It's just that this Supreme Lord is the relative. And so, but it's very obvious, he's following the rules, that Maryada aspect is there, and so then it works. Right, you know, so very much you could say that the logical aspect of the nature is satisfied by the presentation and practice of the devotion. Though it's not that intelligence can understand it, it's just that intelligence is satisfied. So that's the unique thing is there, that Krishna then has to follow all those things nicely, because that's what devotees want. That's the uniqueness of Braj. It's just whatever he likes and wants to do, their whole life is how to fulfill that. That's what makes the Brajbasis unique to anyone else in the cosmos. So that's why they're seen in that unique position, because they can handle that. Because then Krishna, then whatever he feels like, it's about that. It's not about that. There's no need of him being God for them to have a reason to like him. Like Akura, so I hear the Supreme Personality, my God, my life is perfect by seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But for the gopis, it's just seeing him is the perfection of the eyes. He may be Godhead or not. That has nothing to do with why seeing him is so perfect. It's just he himself is so perfect. He just happens to be God. So we see it reverses. So that's the meaning of the Sarva Dharma Paritya Ja. right? So Mam Ekam Sharanam doesn't say Dwarka. You know, Mam Ekam Sharanam Dwarka, right? Because that kind of mood is fully in its maximum form is there in Braj. It'll be there in the whole of Vaikuntha, but Braj, it's outstanding. That even here, Akrur is just amazed by the devotees there, their affection and everything. I mean, he's only heard about it, right? And he'll see a little bit there, but because he's on a mission, he's not focused. But let's say Uddhava goes to specifically, is sent to specifically see it, and then seeing it because he's the most intelligent, you know, of the Dwarkavasis, then he can appreciate what their position is. You know? So then also that means then he can appreciate Krishna's mood and flavor and why he's, you know, always absorbed in thinking about Braj. Says, are we getting anywhere here, or we're just adding to the global warming?
Yeah, inside warming.
Head is filling up with hot air. But that's okay, but in the process, is the hot air pushing some of the doubts or other things out? You know, it's going in one ear, is it pushing them out the other ear? Or is it just causing more confusion?
Activates different things.
I see.
Okay. In the same language. Of all the past tense, we see the Lord's childhood past tense, so they're only in Raja. There are other places, but it's never elaborated because nobody...
No. But the point is he does his childhood pastimes in Braja. When they're finished, he goes to Mathura.
No. Of all the avatars of Lord, any other avatar, the childhood pastimes and all, it but never...
There's childhood pastimes of Varaha?
I'm saying that same thing. Like.
The point is they don't have.
Because nobody can handle on that level of intimacy.
Yeah, it's just it's special. That's the whole thing, is that because it's him as a person, where it's just about the affection, there's nothing else. Because okay, you like him, it's just like is it now, let's say you have an extremely wealthy person, and so then he'll be moving in society. And by moving in society, he'll have so many friends and acquaintances and all these kind of things. So many social obligations, so many interactions. But now there'll always be the thing in the mind. You know, I mean, this is, we're just, you know, it's not a perfect analogy, but it's, you know, to bring out a particular point. That you're dealing with it. How many people are dealing with him simply because he's extremely rich? Right? Yeah. But there will be individuals, or at least he's hoping to find individuals, who will deal with him simply because they like him. Whether he has money or not, it doesn't matter.
His mother.
Yeah, his mother, maybe some childhood friends that grew up and were able to maintain that. They didn't get all weird, you know, when they, after they got back from college or, you know, stuff like that. Does that make sense? And so he's the most comfortable with them. Because then he can just actually just be himself. It's because the affection is more. The other ones, they have affection simply because he is who he is. So because he's God, we worship God. So that's perfect. But more perfect then is that you know, then that aspect of that mixed with the sweetness. And then most perfect is just the sweetness. So his interaction with, like, you know, friends or relatives that are close, that they knew him from before, and so they still have the same relation, the same affection. It doesn't matter. You know, it's nice that he's wealthy. They're being well-wishers. They're happy that he's wealthy. But at the same time, their relationship with him has nothing to do with him, like his sister or something. She'll harass him anyway, you know. Like that. She'll be saying, yeah, that big guy, he was doing this and he was doing that, but I wouldn't do that. I just tell him, hey, you know. Right? You know, so that's the whole thing. So that's Braj. Their affection is so great that his being the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't actually affect their relationship. So there's no basis in that at all. While the others, it has that aspect. So that's what makes Braj special. Does that make sense? So that's the... That's the idea. Is that, how do we get into that one? No idea. The tangent of the tangent of the tangent of it. But it's all connected. It's all fun. But does that make some sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. See, just as a general rule, I thought of it last night. You can say what you want about Krishna, but don't say what you want about devotees. Means like, you know, is Queen Kunti engaged in Rasa Pas or this and that. Don't bring those up. Even if you have those questions, don't ask them.
No,
but if you have a doubt about Krishna, why did Krishna leave the gopis? He did this and that. They were surrendered. You can ask those questions.
About those devotees, you know, who aspire for samnitya, like, although it is not recommended, you know, the five text explanation, we don't, like, but then there are some devotees, you know,
who want samnitya, but that's Vaikuntha. Yeah. Vaikuntha, it's not a problem.
Yeah, so they say that because we aspire for samnitya, we do have, you know, the priti.
We do have?
The priti aspect. You know.
The priti aspect.
Yeah.
Like pretty reckless, like that kind of aspect? You know, isn't that what it was? And they're teaching me all the things I shouldn't know, right? You know? Yeah. Don't worry, you're too pious for that side point. Why is that preeti?
Because they have a desire to be with the Lord, to be a person associated with the Lord and serve Him in that way. Therefore, it is not possible to render service until...
So preeti means, what's preeti?
Affection for Krishna.
Yeah, but you're talking about in rasa, that means like the cowherd boys, they're preeti rasa.
This is a...
So which preeti are you talking about?
This is a general preeti I'm talking.
General preeti?
Yeah.
So why is it they have, but their attachment is only until they get it. Once they get it, will they still maintain that preeti?
Why not?
Why not? Because people who have material desires, that when they get what they want, they may forget about Krishna because they already got what they want. You know, it's just like going to a minister. You know, government minister to sign your paper. You're all nice, take him Mahaprasad, take him this, that, talk about his family and this and that. And but as once you got the paper signed, do you ever care about him again?
Next time you need the paper.
Yeah, if you need the paper again. So you need to cultivate. You're smart. Right? So that's the common thing, is that that's what's defined as even karma and gyan can't function without bhakti. See, we're on this, we're doing bhakti and then the karmis and gyanis are doing what they do perfectly fine. No. How much devotion do you see in people in India towards Krishna or towards Lord Ramachandra?
Yeah, they do have devotion.
Yeah, they do have devotion. But can you categorize them as that their main thing, they're actually Vaishnavas, in the sense that they believe in the eternal form of the Lord? No. So that means that they're karmis or gyanis. And if you look at it, are the Hindus generally doing all right wealth-wise? Right. That's because when there's dharma, then there's artha. So to make their karma thing work, they have to have bhakti. So when we say that, we mean it. We're not saying, oh yeah, you have to. We mean it. They're using bhakti to get what they want. Because karma won't, it's dead matter. Why will it work? Who sanctions you getting what you want is the super soul. So that therefore you have to follow God's laws, and that means then the laws are meant to engage you in the progressive path. And so that's the activities of devotional service. Though, they only, so if you follow the activities of devotional service but only for fruitive work, it's called karma. If you follow devotional activities only for liberation, it's called gyan. And if you follow devotional activities to please Krishna, it's called bhakti. We're taking it bhakti something else. No, bhakti is the total package. Everything else is a subset of bhakti. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to tell people all this other stuff. You can tell them directly what it is. Because otherwise everybody else is telling him all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can go to Rishikesh, Hardwar, Varanasi, any of these places. And what will you hear? Go to Naimisharanya. Are you going to hear actually pure bhakti being spoken in any of those places? I doubt it. Yeah. You know, so therefore, hearing all that stuff, then that it's you know, I mean, literally, it's a dime a dozen over here, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not a big deal. You just have to go to Kumbh Mela to figure that one out. Everybody there is there, you know, and literally there's them and their dog, because their dog's there doing yoga asanas also, like that. You know. Generally, they don't have cats doing yoga asanas.
Cats are not so easy.
Yes, that's the problem. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes,
so therefore, without bhakti, nothing works. So therefore everybody has to follow and worship the Lord. But once they get what they want, then they tend to forget. So that's how you tell the advancement of the devotee, is they're going along, things are nice, are they remembering Krishna, or only thing when things are a problem? Right? And since we join Krishna conscious to remember Krishna, then we wonder why we have so much problem. Because that's the only time we remember Krishna. Well, if you remember Krishna when things are nice, then you can have nice stuff also. But once we get nice stuff, we forget Krishna. That's why then Krishna arranges that you don't necessarily get nice stuff. Or you get it and then lose it. Then even more fun. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
The intensity of the gopis, separation, is to the extreme. And then we say that Krishna and his name are non-different.
Yes.
That's for those who didn't have
That's for him.
For them, because they have the person they love, then for them he reappears when they talk about him, when they sing about him.
Yes.
When we talk about sadhakas, for us, it's in theory they are not different, and sometimes we get a glimpse.
No, because they are non-different. Yeah. So it's just that we may not appreciate.
It's just the intensity.
Yes, but it's just a matter of appreciating. The point is when you're chanting Krishna's names, you're directly in association with Krishna. It means we'll come up with the thing, yes, no, that's only Shuddhanam and this and that. But then what's the meaning of saying that? That saying is that we create the quality of the name. Because if we create the quality in the name, why would there be any offense? Because if the name's not Krishna, then why would there be any offense in chanting a name that's not Krishna? Because we're not chanting Shuddhanam. Right? It's because it is Krishna, and you're not paying attention, you're not dealing, you're not surrendering. That's why there's an offense. So the point is that it is Krishna, but because of the covering of ignorance, we don't see that. Just like the demon. They're seeing Krishna, they're being touched by Krishna, but they still don't see that it's Krishna. They don't appreciate. Sometimes you do. So I can forget who it was. They came in and just saw Krishna's beauty, and they thought he looked very attractive. You know, but, you know, let's get down to business. And then he goes to try to kill Krishna. So, Kaliya. Yeah, Kaliya then was thinking, he's quite attractive. You know, like that. So then... So then by being touched by the Lord, being purified by the Lord, then he comes to that proper devotional understanding. So the point is it is Krishna. And that's Bhagavan. So therefore the name, it is Bhagavan. It's not Paramatma Nam or Brahman Nam. It's Bhagavan. And there's an offense because he's there and we're not paying attention. But there's no cure other than chanting the holy name. So therefore, even if we're chanting an offense, we keep on chanting, and then by that process we'll gradually get purified. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the method. You know, so it has to be very clear, as these things aren't It actually is the way it is. So they're appreciating, they're seeing Krishna, they're totally absorbed, therefore they're getting that full benefit. Well, we're, you know, there'll be moments here and there. That's the advantage of festivals. Is that because if it's a festival, we'll take it more seriously, we'll absorb ourselves, we'll give the time, you know? And so then, by that, then we may become more absorbed. And then from that, then we advance so much more. We get that taste. So in that way, that's why all these different festivals are important.
Is that,
you know, it's like the cliche of at the breakfast table, and the guy's reading the newspaper, and the wife's talking, and he's, you know, he's reading, like that, but he's not, you know, and at some point she just reaches over and grabs the newspaper. Yeah, so that's the whole point, is because it is real, it is. Okay. So we don't have to think it's not, because otherwise then we're defining that bhakti is based on karma. So if I do things nicely, then I'm dealing with the pure name. Then it is bhakti. And if not, then it's not. That's why there's offenses, because you're dealing with the real thing. Now advancing is, it means how, when we say the Shraddha to Prema, that's defining how much you appreciate dealing in that realm of bhakti and dealing with Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's then, okay, someone on this, on Shraddha, means now they see that there's something solid here. Then they recognize Krishna as a person, the devotees, and all this and that. So that's what that is called. Before it was just, yeah, the Haris are nice guys and this and that. And, you know, a little, you know, they dress a little strange and stuff like that. And, you know, so, but, so it's just these are stages of advancing. Is that,
Regarding Akrura, you know.
Regarding Akrura.
Yeah. So, he's doing his performance duty, you know, because he's following Kamsa's order by getting Krishna to Mathura. So, because Kamsa is a demon and he is a devotee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even a devotee is serving a demonic master.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, is it, I mean, I have a confusion whether it's, is it dharmic or adharmic, you know, to follow the orders of such a, you know, such a master?
Because yes, this is the
sinful reactions that one gets is to the degree the master is.
No, the thing is this is a, hey, say, age-old discussion of Bushido, right? So for the Japanese samurai, then they are surrendered to following their, whoever the master is. And they're following, you know, so that's their duty. But then the point comes down is that following a master who is righteous, then, you know, it's natural you'll follow, but how much surrender is there? But now, to perform your duties of Bushido, when the master is bad, that means then you're really committed to your duties. So, the point is that, does he have a choice? Yes, so then why bring up the question? You understand? He has no choice.
He can also resign.
He can resign. And how is that working out for everybody?
Shortens their life.
Yeah, it means that. It all depends on whether you, you know, look forward, you know, you have your long-term goals or more short-term goals. It's like this. Do you have an Aadhaar card?
Yes.
But why would you have an Aadhaar card serving the non-devotional government who's only interested in, you know, pounds, shillings, and pence? Because rupees aren't worth that much. So,
as a citizen of India,
as a citizen of India. Okay, so Akrura being a citizen of Mathura, does he have to follow what the king says?
Yes.
Okay, because if you're going to take Dharma, then look at the aspects of Dharma. You know what I'm saying? If they could go somewhere else and this and that, then that's there. Or if someone can adjust, but they're unable to do so because Krishna is going to come and take care. That's why Akura is so enthusiastic to take them to Mathura, because then he can adjust all that. And, you know, either they are the kings, or Ugrasena will be the kings, or somebody will be the king who is going to do a good job of it. So in his mind, then by Krishna and Balaram coming to Mathura, they right all the wrongs that are going on there. You remove the demons, you bring everything to the proper dharmic platform. You understand? So that's how he's seeing it. He's working on behalf of the benefit of the Mathuravasis. And they haven't seen Krishna. And then he'll be, you know, the point is the Brajvasis, they've had some time. And so everything is wonderful there and prosperous. But the same can't be said about Mathura. So now if they come to Mathura, now that will become prosperous. So that's how he's looking at it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that it's not going to get him in trouble with the Brajvasis, but the point is that's the angle he's taking.
Okay. Yeah, because I was just trying to figure out that why should he get the sinful reaction? Then, like, because it did not console the gopis, maybe that could be the reason.
That's what the acharyas say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then even if he said he'd bring him back, because they won't bring him back, then that'll still be a problem. You know, so these things are just arranged because there is this aspect that you have the Sunday. So it has to have both those flavors and move. So there has to be a reason for it. So then here, this pastime, and then how Narad Muni then, you know, hurried up everything to make everything work nicely. And then Akura was engaged, and like this. So it's just how the pastime unfolds. Does that make sense? So in other words, in rasa, then one may say, oh, he should have done this and done that. But in tattva, you can't say. That's what we have to be careful about. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, is that you have all these different groups of gopis in Vrindavan. Their only purpose is to please Krishna. So as far as tattva goes, there's absolutely nothing you can say is a fault in any of them. But by rasa, then there'll be something is that they're opposed to Radharani's group, so therefore then there's a fault there, so you avoid their association unless it's necessary, and then you follow etiquette. But that's rasa. You know, in the pastime, that may come up. You know what I'm saying? So, but the point is by tattva, there's no difference. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
As sadhakas, it's very difficult to balance between rasa and tattva, because as you mentioned, we're trying to stay loyal, but then also we have our own desire for development, and then sometimes there's a conflict of interest, so we have to move very carefully.
But just that trying to be careful, trying to work with what we understand about Krishna consciousness and the process, and trying to apply our intelligence to balance it all and make it all work nicely, that in itself is devotional service, and that is appreciated by Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not actually a problem. Because it makes us more aware and all that. Otherwise, we might take things for granted, and then because of that, then we won't act properly. So, yeah. You know. But for us, is then we have the aspect of you have the tattva, and then you have the religion. Right, so we take those religious aspects and engage them in Krishna's service. So in that practice of religion, then whatever is needed or necessary for ourselves is covered in that, because the Varnashram covers what's the religion of each position. And so therefore the needs and the facility to gain that, how one's supposed to deal with that, well, that's all defined there. But so the difference is we do it to please Krishna, but because we're involved in the process, then we get benefit. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yes, because there's also the aspect, there's logic and there's taste.
Yes.
So logic, if somebody really good at logic, he can defeat us, but taste is still there. You can't defeat
yes,
taste.
No. And if we use the logic to try to gnostically understand Krishna consciousness, Krishna will reveal things. But it's not that logic itself will reveal Krishna consciousness. That's the fun part, is that it won't reveal, but at the same time it will be satisfied in the revelation. Mm-hmm. That's the principle.
Because what happens right now in the pastime, it's highly illogical.
What's illogical?
Krishna's
going, gopis are upset. What's illogical about that? That's really...
He wants to stay, but he has to go.
Because he prefers being here, but he's also God. And, you know, he has self-established things that he follows. He has no duty to perform, but if he didn't do activities, nothing would be maintained, because only he can maintain it. Right, because maintenance takes all of the effort, like that. I mean, some effort is there to create something, some effort's there to destroy. But the most effort is there in maintenance, right? So, therefore, he has unlimited qualities. Therefore, he can maintain. Because the principle is who supplies the resource material is the one who's maintaining. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. But how much can anybody else supply? Right? Because the whole supply comes from Krishna, and then they have a quota of that they can work with. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, like that, then he can be the maintainer, because Brahma, Shiva, Indra, they can't produce the ingredients that maintain the world. So the earth, water, fire, air, ether, like that, that's produced by Krishna. So therefore, only he can maintain the universe. The others can manipulate it for certain purposes, but they can't maintain. Right? They can perform their duties following the order of the Lord. Since the Lord is maintaining, then he gives the orders how to maintain, how we can take part in the performance of our duty. So if we do that, then we're engaged. We're engaged in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So that's what we can do. Is we're following the conditioned nature, but doing it in such a way involved in that it is done to please Krishna. And if we do that, that develops that mood of surrender and service that is the generic mood required by a devotee. And so then from there, then eventually it will become specific. And becoming specific, then, you know, it works in that way. So for us, we follow Dharma. But we're not following Dharma for Dharma's sake, we're following Dharma for Krishna's sake. So if the purpose is to please Him, then we see that there's these aspects that please Him, that's what the religion is for. Right? Just like you cook dinner so that people are happy. Right? So now if they're happy just talking, then your goal has been met. Even though everyone talked and so there was no dinner. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. That's the position. If that's appreciated, then it'll work. Does that make sense? So it does follow, right? It means the science there, right? Nectar of devotion, the complete science of devotional service. So that you can logically explain it, but it's not in line with mundane logic. Right? That means the principle of logic means there's a principle that's there, there's a reason that's there, there's the processes that are used like there, and any obstacles that are there are synthesized within that process, and so therefore then you come up with that result. So from that aspect, that will be going, because that's given by Krishna. Right? It's his formula. But that it follows the letter of the law. The external is the secondary, not necessarily. But the principle of the law, that's the spirit of the law, that's the most important. Like that. Our lawyer's not here. For that, but, does that make sense? I don't know. I don't know if they talk about it these days, but previously it would be much more coming up about understanding the spirit of the law. I don't know if they still talk about that kind of stuff. I haven't heard anyone talk about it for a long time. So that's what was understood, is that the original, then, you know, founding fathers of the country, they have a particular mood. And based on that, then they document things to make sure that that does, but it has to be operated with that mood. But with time, people don't know the mood, they just see the secondary law. So the mood in this case is the primary thing, because they're trying to get something. Right? So there's an ultimate goal, there's a mood, and then there's the technical law. But people just see the law and then try to use it for getting whatever goals they want with whatever attitude they have. Therefore, then you have 5 million, you know, article on article of an article of an article, and then that way it completely loses. Like before, freedom of speech means you had something actually valuable to say in the way of actual political, religious, or philosophical nature that was based on authority and tradition. It didn't mean that you can, you have the right to write songs that all they are is swear words and have them published in public and everybody's kid has to listen to it, and that's your freedom of speech. That's not what the founding fathers were talking about. Right? So it wasn't about the secondary aspect of freedom of speech. The freedom of speech was that would give, you know, the liberty and everything like that, because then that would bring about the proper, you know, Christian pursuance of happiness. Does that make sense? So in this is that we learn from the that's why then the importance of the associating with the eternal associates of the Lord, because they have the proper mood, they have the proper understanding of the primary and secondary. So, because they have that perfect understanding and practice, therefore by that association we know what is the proportion between primary and secondary and how to use it. That way then it always works in its natural, logical state. Does that make sense? Even though it may appear to be illogical, because logic and illogic come from Krishna and they're perfectly resolved in Krishna. So if it's connected to Krishna, then there's no problem. You just, you know, just may take a while to explain it. Is that...
Yeah.
That, so that kind of understanding is there, that all that is here, and one can gain that by this association, then one will... One will then progress nicely. Right. Does that make sense? Because the only value to doubts is an aspect of the intelligence to be able to tell, you know, proper apprehension and improper apprehension. Right? So finding the proper apprehension so that you can serve Krishna with that. What is that the acharyas mean? And that's the only reason that we're looking at, you know, what's right and wrong. It's not about the secondary form of it. The secondary form fulfills that, then that's why it's done. If that particular secondary form doesn't fulfill it, then there's another secondary form to replace it to fulfill it. Does that make sense? It's just like you wanted to make some sweet rice, okay? But somehow or another the milk didn't get boiled, and then when you come and you start boiling milk, then it turns into paneer. What do you do now? Make sweet rice? Yeah, you make paneer and make sandesh. Right? So that's what we're talking about. The principle is you're going to, you know, in this case, make a milk sweet. Right? Does that make sense? And if, you know, so that's the thing here. But ultimately, it's just about pleasing Krishna and making it nice for Krishna. So now if someone's already made sandesh, and there's no need of another one, and then let's say the sabji, it's just, you know, a regular sabji because they didn't have milk to do, you know, all these different things, then you'll use the paneer and fry it, put it in the sabji, because it'll be to please Krishna. So on that ultimate principle, it's all logical and all that. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that the mastery of something is by how you can work with the variety of secondary manifestations to represent or, you know, express the primary. Is that so? So it always will make sense. It may not make sense to us, but if we have that faith, then by service and all that, then eventually it will. But there's no alternative then to hearing about it to develop it. It's not that, oh, I don't understand and I shouldn't listen to this. No, if we don't understand, we should listen more. Right. So, okay, so they pass their days and nights because they can maintain their lives by singing about Krishna, or by the various sorrows came up from singing about him and increased their affection for him. This increased the pain of sorrow. Or, though they all sang, they passed their days and nights in sorrow, right? But absorbed in Krishna, and thus that feeling, that taste of separation. Or they could not even pass their days and nights because they gave up hope that he would return. And so then that particular flavor of absorption in Krishna. The details are not given because Sukadeva was in great pain. However, Lalita Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami describes the pastimes at that time, right? So here you see is he goes through quite quickly. And then Prabhupada explains enough for how we'll appreciate like that. But then once that's appreciated, then more detail. As he says here, the details are not given. The principle is given, but the details. The details then go on and on. So then Lalita Madhava then explains that. You know, or more. You know, it's not the unlimited manifestation. So, yeah?
So it just gives the reference. It doesn't give what happens in there.
If we're having problem with this, then why go there? The frying pan into the fire, right? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, all the gopis... Footnote 24. The Lalita Madhava is the description of Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. These pastimes are made into a drama, and the work was finished in the year 1459 Shakabda. The first part deals with festivities in the evening, the second with the killing of Shankachuda, the third with maddened Srimati Radharani, the fourth with Radharani's proceeding towards Krishna, the fifth with the achievement of Chandravali, the sixth with the achievement of Lalita, the seventh with the meeting in Navavrindavana, the eighth with the enjoyment in Navavrindavana, the ninth with looking over pictures, and the tenth with complete satisfaction of the mind. Thus the entire drama is divided into 10 parts. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 141 purport. Okay, see appendix for the relevant excerpt. There is a further.
Page 82.
Oh. We have an appendix. We've never had an appendix before.
I think we did
one. No, not this big. So when it says 10 parts, it means 10 acts, because a drama, what are they called? Natakam. A Natakam has to have 10 acts. That's what defines it. Because there's all these ones. If it has one act, then it's got one particular name. It's got different things, then it's got different.
Ekapatri, it is called.
Huh?
Ekapatri, if it is one act.
One act, yeah. Ekapatri. Yeah. Okay, so a Natika is 10. So then, generally, the Acharyas would write in these. So Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, Chaitanya Chandragoya, Natikam. That, they're all written in that 10 act. Chaitanya, then. Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote that Jagannath Priya Natakam in the 10 acts in the same style according to the Nataka Chandrika by Rupa Goswami. So he also gave the work that explains how you deal with them. So one is you know how it is, then you can appreciate what's going on in the drama. And at the same time, if you wanted to write one, then you would have the grammatical ability. Right? Okay, appendix. So, out of the frying pan into the fire. Okay. Following is an excerpt from Srila Rupa Goswami's Sri Lalita Madhava regarding the pastime of Akura taking Krishna to Mathura. So we're on what page? 69. Oh, okay. Okay, so the end of this, so this chapter is, no, there's one more chapter, 40, right?
Yeah,
40, okay. Oh yeah, because now they'll leave now, then they'll go, they'll take their bath, and then he'll become bewildered, and then he'll go for prayers. Right? Okay. So Act 3, Scene 1. Vishkambaka, conversing with Vrindavan, Purnamasi enters. Right. So the thing we have to understand is this is a Sanskrit drama. Sanskrit drama is about producing a particular experience or understanding. It's not about the chronological performance, the chronological events. It's what events will connect together to give that flavor. So I'm not sure how this is going to unfold, but in Chaitanya Chandradaya Natakam, it can go from one scene to another, and you don't know what happened in between, and it absolutely doesn't matter. Right? In the modern thing, they'd have to set up all these little things so like this. But in here, it just moves from one to the next, because the logic is the connection of the mood. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's see here. Conversing with Vrinda, Purnamasi enters. Purnamasi. So this, by the sounds of it, this would be center stage. Because in here you have a center stage, and it has basically a main part and a front part, and there's two side stages that are generally a little bit raised, you know, all the way at the edges, and they're small. Because you can have two or three different scenes going on at once. So the closest thing you have in the modern is Shakespearean stage and how that works. Right? If that makes any sense to anybody. If it doesn't, okay. It's a completely blank stage. And then if you need a prop, it's brought on. Well, in the modern theater, the whole thing is the scene with the props. But the Shakespearean stage is one stage. And on that you can do anything. So the same with the Sanskrit stage. It's one kind of stage, but it has all the facilities that you can do anything with it. So this will be taking place center stage. All I'm doing is saying this because we might end up with some side stages. Purnamasi. Ah, the darkness of night is now ending. Look, look. Frightened by seeing the effulgent Shadabha beast of the sun glowing on the eastern horizon. The lion of the moon, like a golden sandalwood ball, now runs to hide beneath the western horizon. Right? So this is also kavya, and it brings about all the taste and all that. So if the other thing you didn't understand, thou will really not understand. Okay. Note, the Shadabha beast had 4 heads, 8 eyes, and 8 legs, and was so gigantic it would devour elephants in a single gulp. Right? So this is not an imaginary creature. You just don't see him in Kali Yuga. It's a good thing, right? Because if these are around, then you know one of those hit New York, that would be it. You know, like that. So,
like Yali and Makar, you mentioned.
Yes, you just don't have them in these because this is a Shardov beast, 4 heads. You have the one that's a lion, really huge lion. That means you know this. You can imagine how big this is. So the Yalis, they're huge. Like that, and they're a lion that they have an elephant nose, and they grab elephants and just roll them up in their nose and pop them in their mouth. They're that big, you know. So they'll be like, you know, That would be big. So, you don't have them in Kali Yuga. You're only in the other three yugas. Vrinda, I heard a great sound like the roaring from the depths of an agitated ocean, and so I have quickly come here. Please tell me, what is it? Purnamasi, daughter Vrinda, it hasn't entered the courtyard of your ears. Vrinda, noble lady, what is it? Purnamasi, yesterday, when peacock feather-crowned Krishna returned to Braja village, after, with unprecedented strength, killing Keshi, who became a mountain of anger when Arista was killed. Akura, who had been sent by King Kamsa, arrived at the palace of Nanda Maharaj. Tomorrow morning, when the sun rises on the eastern horizon, the king's messenger, Akura, will take Krishna and his elder brother, Balaram, to Mathura city, the capital of Kamsa, the great enemy of the demigods. Right? So that's the great roar that they, you know, that she's heard, that great agitation. So he says, you haven't heard it. Right? Because if she had heard that news, then that's what you'd be talking about. You know, so it's not a volume of sound, it's that, what's all the talk, what's going on? So you haven't heard, so this is what it is. Vrinda, silent for a moment, and then with a long, warm, unhappy sigh. If Akura takes Mukunda, Krishna, to Mathura city, then for what purpose shall I beautify the new forest grove? Right, because what service does she have to perform? For what reason shall I make a bed of flowers, or make the fragrant vines blossom always, even after the blossoming season is past? Because right? That's what she does. She arranges the forest so that it's very wonderful. So when Krishna and Balaram are talking about the beauty of the forest, that's what Vrinda is doing. She's arranging all that, you know, under Purnamasi, who is arranging the overall scene, right? What's going to be the pastime, so therefore then that's what's arranged. So what's going to be favorable for the pastime, you know, in the way of the different flowers or this or that, whatever's going to be, then she arranges that that's all there. So the trees are blossoming, even though the season's not there to blossom. Because for that pastime, you need this kind of flowers. So because that pastime's going to happen, then the trees all blossom with that, then all the Vana Devis, they pick them all and all that, and then the pastime is arranged. So, you know, when we talk about management, it's like, you know, this is management. The other stuff is small time, like that. You know, because all this has to be done in 20, everything moves in 20-minute cycles, like that. Does that make sense? You know, or 24, technically, because you have a 48 muhurta. So the dandas are 24. So in that time, then, you have to already be making the arrangements for the next pastime. So you have 24 minutes to arrange a rasa dance or to arrange a kunja or arrange those, you know. That's why there's thousands of maidservants. So if you wonder what everybody's doing, that's what they're doing. So now to get 5,000 to 6,000 people to arrange something so nicely and all working together in 24 minutes, name me the person on the planet who's that good of a manager. No. So they're all the top crack managers in the cosmos, but do we ever identify them as managers? Never. That's Krishna conscious managing. Right? If people say you're a good manager, that's good. But if they say you are a manager, that's your identity, and that's the only way you know how to function and interact with others, then one's not as good a manager as one would like to think one is. Like that. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. That's what we see. All these acharyas, they can do all these things. But you never identify them. You don't identify Prabhupada as an administrator. But he set up a society that is so perfectly arranged. Like that. You know, you don't say he's a maestro, but he's, you know, the musicianship that he knows is way beyond whatever you're going to see anybody on the planet being able to do today. Does that make sense? You know, you don't call him a chef, but his cooking was so subtle. So perfect. He knew how to adjust just perfectly for what was there and what you could do with it. Does this make sense? You know, and he could adjust with things like condensed milk in a can. Right? It's not a typical Vedic thing, but he could make it into something that we would identify in that way. Or the Simply Wonderfuls with powdered milk, how you make that. Or, you understand? So So that's, but we don't identify him like that. You just see him as a devotee, as a gentleman. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what we're looking for. That's, we're not the body. Doesn't mean that you don't know what to do. It's not that I'm not the body, so I can do anything, and I can be inefficient in anything I like. Yeah. That's not the point of the philosophical thing. Does that make sense? So her point is then, you know, what's my business? Purnamasi, with anguish. The lotus eyes filled with anguish. The gopis have stayed awake the entire night, crying with long wails, frightened because of ecstatic love, and always angry at Akrura. Now that night is over, as if it had been only a single moment, alas, sad is the gopi's fate. Vrinda, with tears, alas, by churning the great ocean of Gokula, the Mandara mountain of Akrura has extracted the moon of Krishna and created the Kalakuta poison of the Vrajavasi's anguished separation from Krishna. Right, so how exactly if everything's been said, but how poetic. This is the meaning of poetic. They can say that they're exactly just saying, by him coming, then he's taking the best part of Vraj, which is Krishna. But in so doing, he's produced the total anxiety and the mood of separation of the Vrajbasis. But that doesn't explain it as well as saying, by churning the great ocean of Gokula, the Mandara mountain of Akrura has extracted the moon of Krishna and created the Kalakuta poison of the Vrajbasis' anguished separation from Krishna. That says because that says rasa. Otherwise, we're just talking, you know, the tattva, and we're trying to. But that's the point, is they're tasting it, they can express it. That's what the dramas are for, because that can bring this out even more, because Sukadeva Goswami didn't have that much time. Not that he couldn't explain it all. It's just that, you know, he didn't have, you know, 10,000 years to just discuss, let's say, on this pastime. You know, he only had 7 days total, so they have to get through the whole Bhagavatam. Is that...
And
then the
mountain is like hard-hearted.
Yes, yeah. Then the mountain is hard-hearted. Yes, like that.
Maharaj, rasa will be always poetic.
Rasa will always be poetic.
Because
depends. If you're, let's say you're happen to be a member of Metallica, it may not be as poetic as it could be. Iron Maiden, Talking Heads.
Different part of the world. Different time.
Yeah, no, I'm just having fun. Call ho na ho. Okay, now we got a smile. Okay. So does it explain it nicely, the poetics, right? Even without the soccer field, it still is able to express it, right? I lost you there. Okay. Okay. Vrinda. Oh no, he's already said Purnamasi. Chaya, let us go to the gate of the Gopa King Nanda. Walking, she looks ahead and then begins to shed tears. Nanda's wife, Jashoda, is so agitated she's got to offer suitable prayers for his son's safe journey. She is so perplexed that she forgot to prepare a lunch for him to take on the road. She simply embraces him again and again, cries and muddies the dust on the body with the stream of tears from her eyes. Okay, so now... okay, this is going on here. Do they say that they just said that? No, she's just saying this. Okay, so this is still them moving. Just trying to see. Oh, so this whole thing's going to be just their conversation.
Only their conversation.
Both exit. Okay, so then they still have the stage. Okay, so they're explaining it themselves. Okay. That's not that they're going on and then the other pastime's going on, then they would have gone into one of those side things and then they say things, you know, to it's like narration, but it's acted out. And then you have the main stage doing the things, but if there's something there you don't, then those side things can bring it out. The director can come on, and he can explain things. So there's all kinds of technical methods that can be used. Vrinda, did the noble lady hear what Shaibya said to her friend? Purnamasi, what is it, my daughter? Vrinda, she said, O bewildered girl, I think it is because you are absorbed in churning yogurt that you do not hear the pathetic wailing of Vraja village. O my friend, a wicked messenger of the king is now hurrying Mukunda Krishna to Mathura city. Purnamasi, child, because you are agitated by Shaiva, you could not hear Shyama's lament. Right, so they're bringing out the, you know, the different, like we saw Sukadeva Goswami was saying, but he didn't say who they were. He just said them, and the acharyas then can by the symptoms tell, or, you know, they're there, whatever it is. But we're not. That's not the point. It doesn't matter like that. So here then they bring it out, but they mention it so that, you know, it brings out that taste. Vrinda, what you say is true. Tell me what Shyama said, because she was so absorbed in the one, she didn't hear what the other said. She said, the sun has now risen, and Gandhini Devi's son Akura stands on the chariot, happily reciting prayers for a safe journey. Alas, when the horses begin to gallop, they will break only the earth with their hooves, and not you, O my heart. Vrinda, how does Bhadra lament? Let us listen. A voice from behind the scenes, because you have, in that case, is that in the back of the stage, in the center, you have an area where the musicians will sit if they do anything. But you can also pull a curtain there. And so then if music's not being played, then people can stand behind there, or even if it is, it's big enough that they can stand there. And from there, they can say things, you know, of the unseen voices, or they can make a dramatic entrance from there. There is two doors to come on. But sometimes if you're making a very dramatic entrance, you use that, pull aside the curtain, and then come in. Like that. Yes? No? Okay. And so, from behind the scenes, then they'll speak loudly there. Voice behind the scenes. O bird of my life breath, even though in your presence your beloved Krishna hastily climbed aboard the chariot, still you refuse to abandon the slain body that has become your nest. Right, so they already consider themselves dead. That's what we mean by the sanctuary of death. They already consider that. They already feel that. But they're bringing out the point is, but they're not dead. Why? I'm dead. But why are there still symptoms seeming like there's life? Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So that point then will end for the night.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.
Purnamasi is like active participant in the pastimes, like she discussed with Radha and Vrinda also.
Yeah. They're all there. Just you only see Vrinda in the conjugal pastimes. See, Purnamasi arranges all the pastimes. But Vrinda's only involved in arranging the conjugal. So they're both basically that dealing with that aspect of the Sandini and some bit on that aspect. But Purnamasi is the overall, all the rasas, but Vrinda only arranges the conjugal. I mean, she's also the cowherd boys. This and yeah, for Krishna, she just deals with the forest.
Okay, so
she's the main one for there. But at the same time, when the cowherd boys go out, it's arranged for that, but it's arranged in such a way that it's going to be favorable for the season, for the gopis.
Okay.
But if there's something that Krishna wants to do, like play with bale fruits, then there'll be bale fruits.
And there could be some different leaders?
Different?
Like leaders. I mean, like how Vrindadevi is for conjugal, she's a leader, she's arranging. So some for Vatsalya.
Don't worry about that. Means she, you didn't catch what we're saying. Purnamasi is arranging the overall.
Okay, fine.
You understand? She's the Nila Shakti.
She's a Nila Shakti.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's Leela, so she arranges all that. So then, within that, Vrinda is arranging it for us.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah. His mother Jashoda arranges in hers, the cowherd boys arrange in theirs. So everybody's arranging in their area.
So Purnamasi is arranging
overall, and then the leaders of their groups, and they arrange in their area.